Pacifica, Phil Hendrick.
And welcome back here to the El Pacifica, although our Phil Cam has a beautiful shot of Sunset Boulevard in Hollyweed, which is to the south. East of us here, almost to the directly to the east of us, the way the California coast curves, and we're on the curve of the California coast, the El Pacifico studios here. And if you were to just look straight east, we'd probably be looking straight at the city of Los Angeles and the subsector, the subdivision, the small unit.
The neighborhood.
Yeah, the neighborhood known as Hollywood. A lot of people don't know that, I'm not trying to bore you with minutiae, but Hollywood is not a city. It's part of L.A. Van Nuys is part of. These are all sections, districts in the city of Los Angeles.
Well, no, I don't think you're right about that.
Yeah, Hollywood has its own zip code.
I don't give a crap if Hollywood has its own zip code.
Well, why does it have it?
Every area has a zip code. It doesn't mean it's part of a city or is not part of a city.
Well, who did they just elect? They just had elections in Hollywood, I thought.
West Hollywood. Okay? There's a difference.
Yeah, one's Hollywood and one's West. Wow.
Whee! Ow!
You gonna having a good time here, bud? West Hollywood is a separate municipality, yes. But Hollywood is a part of Los Angeles. Van Nuys is a part of Los Angeles. I can't, you know, San Pedro is L.A. Harbor. Oh, these are all parts of the city of Los Angeles.
What about Arcadia, where you were from?
That's a separate city. Pasadena is a separate city. So you have the city, and then you have these districts. That's the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because some people think Hollywood is a town. Now, West Hollywood...
Well, why is West Hollywood... I don't understand. Why is that a separate city?
There's a very interesting story about West Hollywood, and it probably mirrors the experience of gay people in this country, because West Hollywood is a populated primarily, I don't know primarily, but it is seen as and is experienced as a gay community insofar as the neighborhood and the way the folks interact there. And they have the Hollywood Halloween night parade, which is insane. It's always a lot of fun to.
Yeah. Have you ever been in it?
At the Hollywood costume parade?
Well, it's like a gay parade.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Well, I thought you said you was in it that year with the chaps.
Are you being funny now?
No.
He remember? Didn't you say you went to the Hollywood gay parade in chaps?
No, I didn't. I said I watched it. I watched a guy.
Yeah, see, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not judging you.
Okay, bud, what are you trying to get started now?
No, this is something you said. You said you went to the Hollywood gay parade in your chaps.
Yeah, and you were all happy about it.
Wait a minute, man. You guys are high on a mixture of drugs. I never said any such thing.
Well, don't be homophobic, Miss Henry.
How am I being homophobic?
Because you're reluctant to say... We're celebrating a young man, Phil, that literally gazelle leapt out of the closet. Now, I'm not saying you're gay. I'm not saying that at all. But there might have been a time when you said... I want to know the freedom of wearing the chap. Not chap, sir. The chap.
Yeah, like that chap there is my friend.
You know, bud, every time you say something, it doesn't make any sense at all. So why don't you clam up? What are you talking about?
You don't know what chaps are.
I know what chaps are, and I never wore them to the Hollywood, quote, gay parade. And I saw a guy wearing a pair of chaps with no pants on once.
Yeah, and you lingered over it.
Yeah.
Come here.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey!
Yeah, right in the snoz.
Yeah, you missed me. You missed me. You missed me. Oh, that didn't miss.
Well, Phil, violence won't solve the problem. What are you doing?
I'm going to belt you, too.
A woman.
Yeah, sounds like a man.
Even if I do sound like a man. You know what? Here's a man for you. I'm going to go take a dump.
How's that feel?
She's sick. What's with you all smiling?
Nothing.
In any event, West Hollywood, here's the whole thing about the gay community of West Hollywood. It may be the same in a lot of cities. It may be the same in Miami, the Coconut Grove, Loring Park in Minneapolis, the Castro in San Francisco, Greenwich Village in New York. I mean, you go on and on and on and on, these sections of major American cities that have come to be known as, quote, the gay neighborhood, end quote. In the early days, not in the early days, but in the 50s and 40s and 30s in Los Angeles, any guy that was being who was gay and was engaged in gay sex was automatically the target of a police action, whether it be a police investigation, whether the cops literally wanted to arrest you. It was against the law. In the city of Los Angeles, it was against the law. So what a lot of gay people wound up doing was going over the city line into county territory, and that was West Hollywood and other areas. But West Hollywood seemed to be perfectly located. It was just off the borders of Hollywood, which was it was and still is a part of Los Angeles that has a great many artists, actors. Even today, though artists and actors don't live in Hollywood, it's identified with, it's a place where a lot of actors live, especially a lot of young actors who are up and coming. There's good rent there in the hills as well as in kind of the off the boulevards there, and people live there. But right off of Hollywood, which is a part of L.A. City, is West Hollywood, which was county. And the L.A. police could not go into county and make an arrest. So gay people began to gradually find themselves in West Hollywood, bars, restaurants, residences, and what began was a gay community in the city of Los Angeles. Now, I don't know about the sheriff, you know.
Well, I'm back, because I want to say, the sheriff, now that's what I wanted to say.
Oh, that's what you wanted to say after you went to the bathroom?
Yes. I'm not allowed to go to the bathroom?
I would rather you not go to the bathroom and say, I'm going to go take a dump.
Well, you're talking about me sounding like Butch. The sheriff is the lawman that wears the big cowboy hat. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Now, that I find unusual, and this is why I think a lot of people feel that Los Angeles is very forward-moving and forward-thinking. Even though we have a lawman of the county of Los Angeles with the cowboy hat and so on and so forth, the gays felt comfortable with a cowboy. And I don't know if the entire cowboy idea is gay-friendly.
Well, Margaret, I don't know that the sheriff of the city of Los, the sheriff of the L.A. County, of L.A. County...
Calm down. Just calm down and say it slowly.
I'm calm, Margaret. I'm fine.
All right.
I don't know that the sheriff of L.A. County, in his cowboy hat, or whether he wore one or not...
You know, you really need to see a doctor. You're laughing at inappropriate moments. Have you had a CAT scan?
No. You know what? I agree with you. I think I should go get a CAT scan.
Why?
Because she's right. I think I must be nuts working with you guys. I got to go and get something done, and I think I need a CAT scan.
What's that? Is that like an x-ray of a cat? Ow.
You see, bud, now it's just automatic. You're going to get belted every time I hear that laugh. You're going to get belted every time I hear something dumb coming out of your mouth. You're going to get belted every time I hear something dumb coming out of my mouth. How about that?
Well, you don't stuff my mouth.
Now, don't get angry, Phil. That's what he thought putting words in my mouth was.
Oh, that's right.
That ain't stuffing my mouth.
I didn't say that. I said don't stuff it in my mouth.
But for the last time, the expression is don't put words in my mouth. It's not don't stuff it in my mouth.
You're laughing.
In any event, that is the story of West Hollywood, where they eventually did incorporate it as a city. Very recently, within the last 20, 25 years, West Hollywood's become a city. But it was county, and it was a place that the Los Angeles police could not go to make these arrests of gay people. And as far as the L.A. County Sheriff and Sheriff's deputies at that time, I don't know what their... I don't think it's because they were more favorably disposed to gay people. It may be that the laws were countywide more liberal. And it also may be that there just simply wasn't the manpower to spare. The sheriff department, assuming that L.A. City was sort of, because it was on the border there, L.A. City was sort of taking care of all of that.
Well, did they think L.A. City was going to go in and make arrests?
I don't think they did. L.A. City obviously didn't, and they probably... I bet you they had conversations with the sheriff saying, you know, there's a lot of gays, or whatever word they used in those days. Don't say it, bud.
Starts with Q.
Really great.
Kumquat. Sorry.
So the sheriff's department probably had conversations with the L.A. police saying, there's a lot of these homosexuals that are leaving our city and going into your county, and I just want to let you know. And the sheriff probably said, oh, yeah, thanks so much for the heads up. And guess what? What are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, I think heads up is an unfortunate term. I'm sorry.
let me decide, okay?
Yeah, but you get hit with a fine.
I'm not going to get hit but with a fine for saying heads up.
But in conjunction with a gay.
I'm not going to get hit with a fine for saying heads up in conjunction with a topic about gays, okay? Oh, my God, what happened? My face just all of a sudden got huge. All right, let's take a break. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So good of you to join us here this evening. Mwah. Big smackaroo, big kiss for you. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. You know, a Phil Hendry Show backstage pass. This is Customer Appreciation Month on the Phil Hendry Show, the month of May. And if you go to our home site, philhendryshow.com, you will see just exactly what that can mean to you and yours in the forthcoming months, years, nay, even lifetime. You'll have a backstage pass to our fantastic website. All new backstage pass membership enrolled this month will receive free best of digital CDs. It's spelled out there in black and white for you there on the homepage where you see the Ted's of Beverly Hills coupon. A new monthly membership grants you access to one free digital CD up to a $25 value. A new semi-annual membership grants you access to three free digital CDs, which is up to a $75 value. And a new annual membership grants you access to five free digital CDs up to $125 in value. So don't wait. Sign up for a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show today, where it pays to be a member. And we haven't forgotten our existing members either, our BSPs. You're all receiving a free digital CD as well. Please contact our service people and me, and we'll tell you all about it. Don't worry about it. Everybody who is a current backstage pass member is going to get a free CD download, because we just think you're the bomb, baby. You are the bomb. All right. And I got to say, I think, like I was saying last night, the economy has got to be coming back, because we had a hell of a good month in terms of new members of our Backstage Pass family. Granted, we have a very economic price. We have our family price, $9.99.
Are you trying to tell me that your website is family friendly? You got to be putting me on. The stuff on your website, Phil, would curl, I'll say what Frank says, I'm sorry, but it would curl the ass hair of a nun.
Oh, my God.
God!
What?
That was about as crude a thing as I've ever heard.
Well, the stuff I hear on your show is the same.
Well, Margaret, if we're so crude, then why are you even on the show?
To clean up the sewer, Phil, someone's got to do it. And you remember what Captain Bly said to his crew. By God, you'll lick those decks clean.
Yeah, so? You want to hear somebody say that? Ow!
Keep him away from me, I'm telling you.
Bud.
You almost call me Margaret.
All right, Bud. I'll call you Margaret. Back off. What are you... Don't use terms like that. It's disgusting.
Frank says it all the time.
I don't care what Frank says. You and I both know that Frank's mind is going slowly as we speak. All right. I mean, that whole thing that he got into last night about, I don't know what he was talking about. It was so bizarre. We were talking about Ray Harryhausen. Now I want to get into...
Well, that's how I was reminded of it, because you were talking about Ray Harryhausen, and naturally...
Yeah, that's great.
Get off your high horse, Phil.
No, I think I'll stay on my high horse. Somebody has got to stay on the high horse tonight. Or, you know...
No polo game.
Yeah.
Yeah, or no polo game. Thank you. Al Pacino quits Despicable Me in the middle of recording it. Now, this is, as you know, an animated film, Despicable Me. It is Despicable Me 2. He's famous for playing the bad guy, even when he's the good guy. He's still kind of the bad guy. He yells a lot. He makes crazy eyes. His hair always looks like he's been awake for 37 hours. This is the writing of Amanda Crumb, and boy, is it crummy. So he was the perfect choice to play a villain in a children's movie. Unfortunately, he reportedly dropped out due to creative differences with the producers of Despicable Me 2, the highly anticipated sequel to the Steve Carell-led animated feature. Now, this is where we got into an argument earlier in the show. I taking the side of the producers, and Margaret, oddly, you taking the side of Al Pacino.
Why is that odd?
Well, because what we were saying was, you said don't mess with Al Pacino. Tell the audience what you said.
I said that you don't, I don't have to sell this. I think that this, as the gangsters say, this blank sells itself. All right?
That's very good, Margaret.
Yes. Don't. Very good, Margaret. This stuff sells itself. First of all, Al Pacino is one of three of the most brilliant actors that the American stage has ever produced, and that would be Al Pacino, that would be Jack Nicholson, and that would be Robert... I'm trying to get the French pronunciation, but I haven't decided what that would be, so I'll just say Robert De Niro.
You haven't decided... See, this is, it's endlessly fascinating to me, you with this French...
Let it go, will you, Phil? I'm in the middle of something.
Go ahead.
So Al Pacino, I think, if he were to say jump, I think you say how high. If Pacino were to say flush, you say, well, you don't say anything, you flush.
Right.
So I think that the producers of this film... thinking they're going to replace Al Pacino with Benjamin Bratt, give me a break.
He's a good actor.
I don't know what kind of voice talent he is. But the point is this. I think they will long rue the day that they said, well, Al Pacino must leave the project.
No, wait. He did not leave the project. It was an amicable parting of the ways. He obviously did not want to be a part of this film. You believe that Al Pacino has power to shut this film down. I do not think he does, and I'm not disrespecting Al Pacino at all. I agree with everything you said about him. He is one of the greatest actors that we've ever produced. I agree with your statement about Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro, but Al Pacino is not as big as the film. I don't think any actor, not even Tom Cruise. I mean, Tom Cruise... At the height, one can argue, at the height of his popularity, Sumner Redstone said to Tom Cruise, you know what, get the hell away from me, man, you're too weird, bug off. I mean, he got basically let go, you know, by Sumner Redstone.
Who's Sumner Redstone?
He was the guy that ran the studio that Tom Cruise was at. So nobody, and you could see that Tom Cruise is probably the biggest movie star in Hollywood.
Man, you've been reading way too many of those Sino books. You're weird. No way.
Hold on for a minute. I've been reading too many sign-ups. Name a guy that's bigger than Tom Cruise.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well, hold on.
No, bud.
You don't think so?
No, but hold on. But I can tell you someone that is big. What about, well...
You were going to say?
I was going to say, what about... Daniel Day-Lewis. Oh.
Daniel Day-Lewis is a better actor. Daniel Day-Lewis is a brilliant actor. He's not a bigger movie star.
Daniel Day-Lewis acts circles around Tom, I'm gay, but I will never admit to it, Cruise. Oh, yeah. Look at me like I'm the scum of the earth.
You know, let's get off the gay thing. Tom Cruise is a far bigger movie star than Daniel Day-Lewis. Give it up, will you please? Daniel Day-Lewis is great. There's no bigger fan on the planet Earth of Daniel Day-Lewis than me. He's not a big movie star. You know what that is?
Don't breathe on... Oh, God. What did you eat?
Movie star. Okay? Tom Cruise. Anyway, so I don't think Al Pacino can get anything shut down. I think they'll say, Mr. Pacino, oh, thank God, you know, I respect you, I love you, you're a great actor. But no, we're not going to shut any movie down, and we're not going to fire anybody. I mean, I bet you he's got the juice to fire some people, but Al Pacino ain't going to, he didn't have the juice to shut down a movie or have all kinds of cats fired. And I bet you he doesn't even want it.
Well, I've never met a star the magnitude of an Al Pacino that didn't want to watch people bleed just for the art. And you're saying no.
That's exactly what I'm saying. What a despicable thing to say.
It's not to, I'm just saying, just to know they can do it. Clark Gable was wonderful with that. I remember Clark Gable. I read the, I was very fortunate to have known Snooky Roel, who was one of three masseuses that worked on Clark Gable. And he said Clark Gable loved to have people fired just for the comic relief. And I said, my God, I said, that's so sadistic, it's sexy. And he said, now you know.
You found that sexy, that Clark Gable could have people fired.
Well, he never really did, but he liked to think that he could. I don't know.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. That was a bizarre story. I don't know that I really enjoyed it. And we'll be right back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we'll be right back, people, so that I can help Phil save the show.
And we'll be right back so I can save the show and not listen to Margaret with her bad life.
And so Phil can't do...
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. Here it is, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're happy to be with you guys tonight. We thank you for your patronage. Join us online, won't you, with a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. All kinds of interesting things happening, and not only the news, but also interesting things happening away from the broadcast, behind the scenes, as we discuss a number of things. We were just talking about Charles Manson because I was playing one of his songs here from our library of music. Charles Manson actually had a pretty good voice, but we were discussing how Manson was too weird for people to deal with. Now, Margaret, was Frank on the fringes of that?
Well, Frank represented a couple of producers at the time that I think had some traffic with Manson. No, Frank was never at one of the sessions or anything, but he did come home years later when we were married, because I wasn't married with Frank when this was happening.
What were you doing at the time?
You know, that's none of your business.
Bud, shut up. She was working. Were you still working TV?
It's none of your business either.
Well, excuse me.
All right, I'll tell. I was down at the Tropicana.
The what?
I was down at the Tropicana.
Oh, man, you're mud wrestling, yeah.
That's right, mud wrestler. Whee!
Would you tell him to stop that before I cut the hand off?
Bud.
I was mud wrestling at the Tropicana. You want to arrest me and sue me?
I'm not saying anything. They are.
Yeah, but mud wrestling, though, I think that's very good, Miss Gray. There are a lot of people that talk about it even to this day.
Well, isn't that nice? The point that I'm trying to make...
You were mud wrestling at the Tropicana, huh?
Do you want to just go ahead and sign... Here's a felt pen. You can sign the nipple on my left breast. Do you want that or do you not?
I do not.
I don't know.
I do not.
Then can we move on?
Yes.
So anyway, Frank said that he had some dealings with some of the people that were surrounding the recording, but he came home one night and he said, they played me the recording of this guy, Charlie... And this was, I said, is that the Manson? Because by then everyone knew who he was.
Okay. When was this, in the 70s?
Yeah, it was sometime in the late 70s. And he said, yeah, it's the Manson. And I said, is he the one that murdered all those people? And he said, yes, he is. And I said, well, wasn't there also another Charlie? He said, there was a Charlie. And I said, who? And he said, it was Susan Atkins. So we went around and around like that.
Wait a minute. Susan Atkins?
Yes, he got... It was Tex Watson.
Oh, Charles Tex Watson.
Yes. But Frank, by then, was beginning to evidence signs of the dementia, or the dementia, which is the French, and that is sort of the parallel of our dementia. But the dementia, which the French have spoken of in song and poem for many, many centuries... is a grotesque, gargoyle-like mental state where you crouch mentally on the steps of a library, the dementia and the gargoyle. Now, what is your... Boy, you look like you just had an epileptic fit.
I'm trying to slow everything down here. I don't care about the French, okay?
Well, Margaret was going to...
I wanted to get back into a discussion of Al Pacino. No?
Al Pacino.
No, I'm sorry. What was it?
I looked it up here. It's either this one or this one.
Al Pacino, that's right. Al Pacino, getting back to him.
All right, hold on for a minute. Margaret, this thing with the French is driving me ape, okay? You're talking about the Dementia and the Gargoule, and now I got Al Pacino? You know full well the man's name is Al Pacino. Why do we have to do this? I listening to you is fatiguing. Listening to you tires me out because I've got to be on my toes because I got to figure out what is she talking about, and I don't want to offend you and get you pissed off so you get up and say, I'm going to go take a dump and just drive everybody nuts.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Al Pacino, along with Robert De Niro, along with Jack Nicholson, was, yes, one of the top three actors of their time. I would argue that Charles Massou was as big as Clark Gable. Now, you may not like, look at you, you're scrunching your face up.
Clark Gable, that's all I, is that Clark Gable?
Well, now, look at the bright boy.
See, Mr. Henry, it's really not that tough.
Yeah, it's not that tough, Mr. Henry, if you just...
Oh, well, isn't that great? It's not that tough. If I just go ahead and I give in to this French pronunciation thing, Margaret, this kick that you've been on, because you think it sounds so French that you speak French.
Yes, are you trying to mock me? Because the audience understands.
I don't think the audience understands. Just because you call the guy Clark Gable doesn't mean...
You laugh at me one more time.
Or what?
Come at me.
Oh, great. You want to get into a fist fight?
If that's what clears the air, let's go.
Margaret, if you say Clark Gable, it's not speaking French.
Yes, it is, and I'll tell you why. My very dear friend, Bill Schreuer, and I've known her for a long time. She was born in France.
May I ask a question?
Oh, God, what now?
Bill Schreuer?
Yes.
Yeah, that's her friend.
Yeah, I know that, bud. Bill Schreuer was born in France.
I'm looking at you smiling. Is that a laugh, or are you just being friendly?
I'm being friendly.
Because it's a laugh, you know what for.
I do. Bill Schreuer.
Bill Schreuer was my girlfriend. What about her?
Where was she born?
I told you she was specifically?
Yes.
In Marseille.
Okay. She's got a man's name. It sounds very Anglo-Saxon, almost as if she was born right here in the United States. Wouldn't you agree?
No.
You don't think the name Bill?
I didn't say her name was Bill. I said her name was Bill Schreuer.
What's her last name?
Smith, if you must know. What, that's not French enough either?
No, that's fine.
You see, Phil, if you stop resisting, I'm teaching you about the world.
Bill Schreuer Smith.
Damn you, you're laughing again.
I swear to God, I'm not. I'm just smiling.
I heard you gag up like you're laughing.
Yeah, I'm looking closely too, Ms. Gray, but I can't see it yet.
Get off of me! I'm not laughing. I'm just getting the, as we say on the show...
The lay of the land?
Yes, the lay of the land on Bill Schreuer Smith.
Why are you covering your mouth up?
I'm just... rubbing my face. I'm not laughing. I'm not stifling a laugh. I'm not doing anything bad like that. All right, so Bill Schreuer Smith, your friend, encouraged you to speak with the French pronunciation because as far as she was concerned...
It was French, yes. I could call up Bill Schreuer anytime, day or night, and she'd say, she'd do some French talk. It would sound like this. You know, all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say, Clark Gable, and she'd, les yeux vont lire. And I'd say, Clark Gable, theatre. And she'd say, Clark Gable's in the theater. Yes, and so this is what you do. You don't have to go all out and learn the language like these people that want the world to beat a path to their door so they can just bend over and pull their pants down. Are you laughing?
No. I was to have their asses kissed.
Hey.
That's a good one, Mr. Henry.
You're laughing. He's laughing.
No, he isn't.
All right, well, okay, so that's great. So thank you very much, Margaret, but I really did not want to talk about any of that. I wanted to talk about my good friends, Mr. Dickman here, and my good friend, Mr. Leonard here, and what we were discussing during the break. However, I've completely forgotten, so we can move on to other news.
Yay!
Here's a story that I think is, it reminds us of the dangers, yes, of even Basibol. How's that for French?
Well, you sound, you know what, you sound like you live under a bridge.
There's toilet paper in the lower.
Thank you.
It was a sickening sound. The line drive that hit J.A. Happ in the head so hard the thwack could be heard up in the press box, and then silence. Desmond Jennings' second-inning liner caromed squarely off the left side of Happ's head, and the Blue Jays pitcher was taken off the field on a stretcher during Toronto's 6-4 win over the Tampa Bay Rays on Tuesday night. The team said Happ was taken to Bayfront Medical Center, where he was alert and undergoing tests. Nursing supervisor Natasha Keller told the Associated Press that Happ had been admitted to the hospital and was in stable condition. I think the last indication was that he was alert and feeling better, and he'd gone for a CAT scan. That's the last I heard, Toronto pitcher R.A. Dickey said. The ball went all the way into the bullpen in foul territory halfway down the right field line. This is after it hit him on the head. Oh, my God.
Was he wearing a helmet?
He was on the pitcher's mound.
Oh, he was not a batter.
No, he wasn't a batter. He was on the pitcher's mound. So he got hit, and that's a dangerous, that's one of the dangers of being a pitcher, is the position you play on the field. You're right. When a guy hits a line drive back at you, you've seen guys, I've seen them, we've all seen them, make astounding plays on the mound of line drives and even balls that were not hit necessarily in a dangerous direction, but they reach out and they'll stab a line shot or they'll, you know, make a great play. But in this situation, this poor man on the mound got hit with this line drive off the side of the head. The ball then caroms all the way into the bullpen in foul territory, which is halfway down the right field line. Mr. Happ dropped face down at the front of the mound, holding his head with his glove and bare hand. Jennings ended up on third base with a two-run triple. Team trainers, paramedics, and medical officials rushed to Happ's aid as Tropicana Field fell into a hush. It's devastating. I could barely watch, Dickey said. You just don't know what to think, really. It paralyzes you a little bit. And when it sounds like two bats, when you hear the sound off the bat, and it sounds like it hits another bat, it's scary. It's really, really scary. I just started praying on the spot. That's all I could do. Jennings stood with his hands on his head, and other players were visibly concerned as they watched Happ receive medical attention for about 8 minutes. I just saw it come off the bat hot, and when it hit him, I knew it hit him hard, said Ryan Roberts, who was in the on-deck circle for Tampa Bay. I instantly started praying for him. Boy, I remember the World Series. Anybody remember back when Ron Say got hit by Goose Gossage's pitch? And in those days, guys would come to the plate with those half helmets. They did not have, a lot of players could opt for wearing a helmet that did not cover the side of the face. I don't know if they still can or not, but Ron Say wore the half helmet. He did not wear anything that guarded the face in any way, shape, or form. He stood there at the plate, and Gossage let one rip, and it just rose up, and it hit Say on the edge of the helmet. So, in other words, it hit part helmet and part head, and he went down. He was okay. He went on to play, more seasons in Major League Baseball. But it was scary. Anytime you see a guy hit in the head with a pitch or hit anywhere in the head by a hit ball, it is a frightening thing. I hope this man's okay. His injury has been the latest to a pitcher struck by a batted ball during the last few years. And Major League Baseball has discussed ways to protect hurlers on the mound. We got to take a break, guys. We'll be right back. Our final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. May is Customer Appreciation Month at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and have access to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We dialed up this video of J.A. Happ. I'm going to put this on pause and move it over here to our video screen for you guys watching on Phil TV and HD. This poor kid, he's pitching here for the Toronto Blue Jays. They're on the road against Tampa Bay. He's the guy there on the mound in the blue shirt. And it happens so fast. It looks to me like he had a really good reaction. Watch as the ball comes off the bat and how quickly he does react. He didn't react fast enough, but here is the windup, the pitch, boom. And he put his arms up, and even as he's there on the ground, he's holding his head. He attempts to look up to see if there's anything else coming his way, as almost to protect himself, but he just is lying on the ground. He's not immobile. He's looking to see if there's blood. So he's conscious. And I'm telling you, a CAT scan is called for, and every single solitary kind and there's Jennings who hit the ball, and he's just very concerned. He's chewing on his shirt, in fact. It looks to me like that maybe he broke the trajectory of the ball a little bit when he threw his hands up, because even as he's laying on the ground, he's conscious, and he's checking to see if there is, I should go back, he's checking to see if there's blood on his hand. He's holding his head because for some reason, we all know this is very human, when you hold an area that's just been that has just suffered some kind of trauma, for some reason it doesn't hurt as bad. I don't know why that is. Does anybody know that?
Well, what do you mean?
I remember having a toothache so freaking bad, I took to doing what I saw in the cartoons, tying a thing around my head, and it actually made my tooth feel better.
What? What do you mean, a cartoon?
Never mind, man.
Well, I know what you mean. I think it's because what you're doing is you're limiting the amount of blood that's pumping into that area that causes a sort of a throbbing. Is that right?
Yeah.
You said throbbing.
I didn't say throb.
Hold it. So she said throbbing, so what? But as we watch on Phil TV, and you guys who are on listening to us on radio, we're just looking at the clip here of J.A. Happ getting hit by a line drive off the bat of a Tampa Bay Ray. He is a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. This occurred at Tropicana Field tonight, and the ball came off the bat. It's one of those plays, and all of the Blue Jays look like they're in shock. Look at them.
Well, it's a frightening thing. The man's head could have been, in the words of Clint Eastwood, torn clean off, you know?
All right. He's still laying on the ground. His teammates are gathered around him, and the Rays don't look like they're all having a very good time either. By the way, this is an indoor stadium at Tampa, and I discovered in my travels there last week that they're going to build a new stadium, I think, for the ball club, but you need a dome. People are talking about having to have a dome because of the rain and because of the inclement conditions down there. I suppose, but it sure is a bummer, man, to be on a field to watch a baseball game in a dome. I don't dig it. But here you see the Toronto Blue Jay medical staff working on this poor guy who eventually did go to the hospital, and I don't think there's a whole lot more to see. What they did is they put him in a neck brace and immobilized his head so that if there was any injury there, he's not going to keep moving it around and exacerbating the injury. The Rays themselves are looking at this poor guy. Because anytime there's an injury to a player like that, you know.
Well, what, do they think he's going to die?
Well, I'll tell you, some guys have gotten hit so bad. There have been, there's a history of people being hit with pitches and line drives. Herb Score is a very famous story. Herb Score lost his eye. He was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians, and he took a line shot right off the face. Herb Score went on to be the play-by-play guy for the Cleveland Indians, so he sort of turned his misfortune into a great success. He was a longtime broadcaster for the Indians, but he was a player and took a line shot right off of the face. He lost his eye as a result of that. People of my generation remember Tony Conigliaro, who was a great hitter for the Boston Red Sox. He was hit, I think, here. It was Red Sox and Angels. It might have been down at Anaheim Stadium. Maybe it was at Fenway. I think it was at Anaheim Stadium. He got hit by an Angel pitcher. It shattered the orbital bone over his eye, a cheekbone. It really destroyed half of his face. And he came back. But he never had, I don't think Tony Conigliaro ever had the vision out of that left eye that he had before. And he was a real prospect. This cat was on his way in the minds of many to being one of the great sluggers. He was on the same team with Carl Yastrzemski. So, you know, this was a Boston Red Sox team that was just coming off of a World Series win and was looking to get better. And that happened to him. There's a lot of
What about Johnny Roseboro, Tony? He got hit with a bat.
Yeah, Johnny Roseboro got hit with a bat that was being held by Juan Marichal. What are you talking about?
Well, it's the same thing, though, isn't it?
No, it's not the same thing.
He got hit with a bat, though.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, you can say it all you want. A guy slugging you with a bat is different from a ball being hit and accidentally hitting you. Jeez.
Yeah, but he got hit with a bat, right?
Yes, he got hit with a bat. Are you mean the kind that fly?
Could be.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show. I got to get out of here. The world famous Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Alpo Dog Food, and of course is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And for a backstage pass, visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And until tonight at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, I say to you, and I say with great pride, let that be a lesson to you. Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Phil Hendry.